All right, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, beginning here. Again, we are going to be looking at Martha tonight here in the New Testament. And we have been looking at Apollos, Abigail, and Nebuchadnezzar. I'm hoping maybe in the weeks to come to take a look at Adam and Eve together and take a look also at Moses' wife and maybe Samson. And we probably have at least 50 character studies over the years. Now, two related studies with this tonight, back in 2006, we have one titled The Alabaster Box. We have one titled Mary of Bethany in 2014, and in that sermon, I spoke of Martha as well. Notice as we read here tonight, beginning in verse 38, "Now it came to pass as they went," this is Christ and His apostles, "that He entered into a certain village. And a certain woman named Martha received Him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to Him and said, Lord, doth thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Heavenly Father, we do ask tonight for Thy guidance and Thy leading. Lord, we ask for Your blessings to be upon the reading of Thy Holy Scripture. Lord, truly we ask for Thy help. Lord, that You would teach us, that You would illuminate us in Thy Word by Thy Spirit. And Lord, we just pray tonight that we may learn something from Martha. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. Martha appears three times in the New Testament, and each time builds a profile of her life and character. She's mentioned here in Luke 10. She's mentioned again in John 11. We will be turning there. And she's mentioned again in John 12. These three places, we can find something about Martha. Luke narrates the first of these three appearances. And I think this is a good place to start. Now, as we come to this subject, you know, the Bible tells us that all things that are written for our learning, for our comfort, and for our hope, and things of that nature. Obviously, the Old Testament, we see that that was true. And in the New Testament here, we see that's true also. Brother Brandt is with us, and we're thankful to have him with us. But he just mentioned to me a moment ago when we were sitting in my office, Hebrews 11, and the people that are mentioned there. Why did God give us that? Why did God just give us a list of many named people and also unnamed people? Well, they're called a great cloud of witnesses. And they're all given to us to encourage us, that we may learn to either do what they did or not do what they did, that we may learn something from them. And in the New Testament, this is true also. Now, the home of Martha, Mary, and Lazarus was an oasis for the Lord Jesus Christ. In John 11:6, which we'll read a little bit later, we're told that Jesus loved them. He loved Martha. He loved Lazarus, and He loved Mary. And we find that Martha, and that's who we're going to focus in on tonight. Again, we've got two messages on Mary in the last 15 years. We're going to focus in on Martha. And let me just say this in the beginning. She was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we need to say any more? She was a friend of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hear people ask others, are you a Martha or are you a Mary? I think that's a bad question. Because we're going to find that Martha served and worshiped. She had a wonderful faith. Mary also served and worshiped. And so I do not believe it's right to compare the two with one another, saying that one is bad and the other one's good, or the one that was more faithful to the Lord than the other. We don't see that in the Scripture. Now you say, well, I thought she was rebuked. We're going to talk about that. The reproof that the Lord gave to her. Only one time in all the Scriptures do we see the Lord's rebuke to her, and I've been rebuked hundreds of times in my Christian life. Peter was rebuked by the Lord in Matthew 16, and Peter loved the Lord. It wasn't because he didn't love the Lord. Peter gave his life for the Lord because Christ gave his life for him. And also in Matthew 14, we find that Peter actually walked on water for a little ways. Did you find anybody else crawling out of the boat? Simply saying, when we find something that, like Martha here, a very gentle rebuke and reproof, this is not to bring criticism to Martha. I listened to a few sermons just to see what others were saying, and I just cut them off usually about halfway through it, and because the criticism that come to this woman. We, again, John 11, verse 6, we find that Jesus loved them all three equally. He felt at home and comfortable in their home. And this home, by the way, was always open to the Lord and His disciples. So she was a friend of the Lord Jesus. She loved God. She was faithful. She was good and godly. She was a servant. She was a worshiper at the feet of Jesus. She was sincere. She was diligent to her duty. Martha and Mary, again, both equally serve the Lord and have equal value in the Scriptures. Martha gets a bad rep and much criticism over one incident in the Scriptures. What if our names were recorded in Holy Bible? How many rebukes would be listed with our names? What would it look like? What would the text look like if the Lord mentioned one of us in the Scripture? I know what it looked like if He mentioned mine. So we see her serving, and we also see her worshiping, we see her serving, but we also see her serving again in John 12, and there's no rebuke whatsoever. Martha worshiped God. Martha was not lukewarm in her service for God. Now notice as we come here, and again, there is a loving rebuke, as with Peter, and as with others. Again, Martha loved the Lord as Peter and Mary and others and Lazarus loved the Lord. She worshiped and served. And we need servants today in our society and in our church. Now let's read through these again and then we'll take one at a time. And again, I want you to notice as we begin in verse 38 that Jesus and His disciples enter into Bethany and was received into the home of Martha. We began here, and it says in verse 38, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Let's stop there just for a moment. Now, three thoughts I want to bring to you tonight. The first is that Martha was a woman of hospitality. Okay, she was a woman of hospitality. She had the ministry of hospitality that every Christian is supposed to have. This is a great virtue, and she excelled in this virtue. She excelled in hospitality. It's estimated about 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We're commanded in the Scripture to serve others, and she was a servant. You notice it says in verse 38, the latter part of that, "And a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Evidently, she owned the house. She's the primary hostess in this house. And maybe she was a woman of means to have a large house, maybe to feed this crowd. There'd be 16 of them sitting at the table. You got Jesus and His disciples and include Lazarus and Martha and Mary. and maybe a big house, maybe not, but it appears a decent-sized house, a big house, big heart. She uses her home to serve. She honors the Lord Jesus with her home. It says that she received them in this passage. She received them with pleasure, showing hospitality. Now, there's many verses in the Scriptures. I want you to, well, I'll just read it to you. I'm going to give you a few verses to write down dealing with hospitality. We dealt with this just a few weeks ago in Galatians 6. But if you're taking notes, 1 Peter 4:9, use hospitality one to another without grudging. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 and 13 speaks of brotherly love and given to hospitality. Hebrews 13:2 speaks of entertaining strangers. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and chapter 3 rather, verse 2, in ministry, a minister's be given to hospitality. Then in Galatians 6:10, we spent a whole Sunday night on that verse. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and especially unto them who are the household of faith. So we just find Martha obeying the commands of the Lord and showing hospitality. I was in Belize. There were seven of us that went down together, six preachers and a song leader in 1995. I don't remember if it was my first trip or second trip, but there was a Maya family, a preacher and his wife, and they asked the missionary, said, bring all of them to our house on this particular day. I think it was a Sunday after church, and we want to feed them. And what they prepared for us was equivalent, we were told by the missionary, about a week's salary. They wanted to show hospitality. And we went in, and they had some things on the table. I didn't know what they were. But they had a chicken that had been cooked sitting in the middle of the table, and we had benches where we slid in. And this chicken sitting there, and then there was a live chicken at the end of the table on the floor sitting on eggs, thatch roofs, and there were vegetables and whatever, and there was thing that was completely black, but it tastes like a potato. Actually, it's a pretty fair meal. And one of the preachers from up north of this state, we had preachers there from Mississippi and Alabama, we went down as a team, and he's sitting beside me, he said, let me out. Because we had slid in on the chair, and the only way to get out is somebody had to move. And he said, let me out. I said, you got to eat. He said, let me out. I'm sick. And I said, don't offend the family. He said, I'm sick. Let me out. I let him out. He laid out there and puked the whole time we sat in there and ate. And he was so sick, we had to leave him there. We went on to preach in another village, and we picked him up at midnight coming back to the base camp. But I've never forgotten that family that wanted to feed, six preachers and a song leader. Well, notice now as we step into verse 39. So this appears to be Martha's house. I'm going to take my time with this, and I just want you to see the importance of this woman's faith, life, and ministry, and her love for the Lord. And again, yes, she is reproved. She is rebuked here, a very gentle rebuke. But the Lord has rebuked many throughout the Scriptures, and He's rebuked me in my own life and ministry. In verse 39, it says here, and she had a sister called Mary, which, what's the next word? Which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. That little word indicates to me, I could be wrong, but that little word indicates to me that both were worshipers of the Savior. What do you think? The indication is there. And she also worshipped, and she had also sat and heard the word of Jesus Christ as one of His disciples, listening intently to His teachings. And we see this as we read on in John 11 and John chapter 12. Now, notice the problem in verse 40. He says in verse 40, and Martha was cumbered. about much serving. That word cumbered means to be hindered or distracted, to be burdened, like dragging us away, has to do with over-busyness. And so it says that she was cumbered about much serving. Is it wrong to serve? No. We find her again serving. We see the issue of service all through the Old and New Testament. She was very busy, over many things, and even had become frustrated. Had, as we many would say, they too many irons in the fire, too much activity. And in other words, she probably, in this case, probably wanted to make it very special for the Lord Jesus. And we don't even know how long he was going to be there, but what he wanted them to do in this short visit was to focus upon him, that they would fellowship and commune with one another. And she may have been trying to prepare an elaborate meal instead of just a simple meal. We don't know. But I will not accept the criticism that I hear from people about this sweet lady, godly lady that we find in the scripture. But she's left alone to finish this work. And it says in verse 40, "And Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, doth thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Well, she not only speaking of Mary at this point, but she's also rebuking the Lord. And what happens when we come to this place, we get frustrated, we get cumbered, we think that we're all alone. You know, Elijah came to this place one time. Elijah, a great man of God. And he came to the place and he said unto the Lord, he said, "I'm alone." And the Lord said, "There's 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal." And I'm sure that Elijah wanted to say, "Well, where are they?" But God had that remnant there. And so a couple of things happen here with Martha that can happen to us. It has happened to me before. But a couple of things here that can happen. It caused self-pity. I want you to think, she's serving now. She's worship, but she's serving. And at this time, Mary has probably served before Jesus came in, but she's worshiping. And so it can cause self-pity. In other words, feeling alone and complained as Elijah did. Doesn't make them bad people, but they've been cumbered and distracted from much serving. And also, it caused some resentment. In other words, not appreciating others and pointing the finger. That they're not helping me. We've all been there. Get overloaded and so forth in what we're doing. And it also caused condemnation because she even rebukes the Lord as well as Mary. Now notice as we come to verse 41. In verse 41, he says here, "And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." I love the gentle rebuke here. And I think it's a gentle and loving rebuke when he says, "Martha, Martha." Now there again, as Peter was rebuked, Peter loved God. Peter's talking about giving his life for the Lord. And he would have given his life. And he did give his life later on. And we find here that Martha, she loves the Lord, but she's distracted at this one time. I don't think this distraction was there all the time. We don't see it in John 12. We don't see it in John 11. But here in this case, again, maybe the Lord is here just for a short time, and maybe he wants to spend this time with them. And she's cumbered. She said, "Thou art careful and troubled about many things." This is the woman that Jesus depended on for her service. Not rebuking service, but there's a time for service and there's a time for worship. And she is reminded of the importance of spiritual things. The Lord is saying right now, he came to be worshiped at that particular time. And not necessarily a full course meal. This word careful is used a number of times, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 10, and it has the idea of being anxious, being full of cares, to worry, to be overbusy. It's used in Matthew 6 and verse 25, or at least a similar term. It's used in 1 Peter 5, 7. We're to cast all of our cares upon the Lord, for He careth for us. And it's used again in 1 Corinthians 7:32 about the difference between a single person and a married person. Now notice he says here in this passage, and Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. Notice that she's bothered. And when we're troubled, we are disturbed and we lose our peace. Because, again, the passage I just gave you in Philippians, chapter 4, we find here that he said, be careful for nothing in verse 6, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So she is cumbered. She is distracted. She is careful and troubled about many things. There's some anxiety, full of cares. To be careful is full of cares and worries and too busy. And she's lost the peace. She's been disturbed. And the many things here, you say not a few, but many things. And again, she may have been trying to make a very special meal. I mean, this woman loved the Lord as Mary did and as Lazarus did. And she may have been worried about every little detail and every little thing being exactly in place. And the Lord said, look here, right now is time to worship. And that's what this is about. And this is not a passage to ask women, are you a Martha or are you a Mary? This is not a passage to do that with. We find that both of these women love the Lord. And we find that we know that a crowded heart creates a confused life. When we let things crowd us, our lawful duties sometimes can become a snare. In other words, we need balance in our life. There's a time to be still and there's a time to be busy. There's a time to worship and there's a time to work. Would you not agree with that? And this is all the Lord is saying to her. And so notice, as we move on, that he says here, and by the way, another passage, Luke 8:14, and actually verse 7 and 14, speaks of worry and things of that nature, the cares of this world, they choke out the word. They literally, riches and the cares of this world and the pleasure of this world will choke out the word. Worry can't add one inch to our life, but it sure can shorten it. And so we're to be cautious of these things. And he says in verse 42, notice in verse 42, he says, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. In this case, in this incident, Mary was doing the right thing. Martha was bothered. Good woman, loves the Lord. She's been at the feet of Jesus also. And she has faith and she loves the Lord. And he's saying that spiritual discipline and exercise is very important. And spending time with the Lord Jesus is very important. Don't let our busyness or anything distract our time with the Lord. Priorities are important in our Christian life. We are to nurture a heart that is willing to worship. Don't forget communion with the Lord. We get busy with a lot of stuff, but let us not forget our communion with the Lord. So in verse 42, but one thing is needful. What is this one thing that is needful? It's worship. It's hearing the word. It's sitting at the feet of Jesus and being taught. This is absolutely needful. And then he says, and Mary had chosen that good part. That good part, this shall not be taken away from her. We're talking about we will worship in eternity. Now we will serve in eternity, but this is that part that will not be taken away. And this is why And if you're taking notes, I mentioned this a moment ago in Matthew 6, in the context of things. In the context of things. Verse 25 through 34, in this context, he's telling us to trust God. He's not telling us to quit working. He's telling us to trust God and take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat and the body more than raiment? And throughout this text, he comes down and mentions this. He says, seek ye first, verse 33, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, put God first, worship first. We must work, we must serve. There's a time to be busy, but there's also that time that is worship. And when Christ came on this occasion, this wasn't the only occasion, and it's not the last occasion, but when He's there on this occasion, He's saying, it is time to worship. Time to worship. I want you to turn with me to John chapter 11. Notice with me as we come to John chapter 11. We must have a balance in our Christian life when it comes to worship and service. Both of them are absolutely necessary. Now, notice with me as we come here to John in chapter 11. And what I want to do here, I want to begin reading in verse 1. And so the first point is, she was a woman of hospitality. The second point is that she was a woman of faith. She believed. She was a true follower of Jesus Christ. We have her testimony here. And it says here in this passage, John 11, beginning in verse 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, that town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped His feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore His sister said unto Him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom Thou lovest is sick. Notice His love for them. And when Jesus heard that He said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So clearly He loved them equally. They were followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But come down, I'm not going to read the whole chapter, but come down with me and notice in verse 20, as Jesus finally is coming, Lazarus has been dead 4 days now. But this is all for the glory of God. But beginning in verse 20, notice who goes out to meet Him. Verse 20, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went out and met Him, but Mary sat still in the house. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if Thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Notice the faith of this woman. She knew that Christ could save her brother's life. And not only that, it said verse 20, but I know even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. This is a woman of great faith. She is a follower of Messiah. And we find here in these verses that we see her belief in Christ, her strong faith in the Bible, in the resurrection at the last day. Notice as we read on. Verse 23, and Jesus said to her, Thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto Him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection in the last day. Notice her testimony. And it says in verse 25, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. This is her testimony of faith. You can't get any better than that. This is as good as the eunuch in Acts 8. This is good of the, as the Apostle Paul in Acts 9. Tremendous testimony. So she is a woman of faith, and in verse 38 through 45, she saw her brother raised from the dead after 4 days. She even told the Lord, "He stinketh." It's the fourth day. And she saw him being raised from the dead. Now let's come to the third time that we see Martha. Only these three times. And this is John 12, beginning in verse 1. And in this passage, I'm going to call this, she was a woman of service. A woman of hospitality, a woman of faith, a woman of service. I put those three words together, hospitality, faith, and service. She's still serving when we come to this chapter. I don't know how many months, days, weeks, or what it is, or years, but she's still serving. And when we come here, we find absolutely no rebuke. And Martha is not a spectator. She is not lazy. She's not one to sit around and other people do the work. Amen? And there are people like that. You know, we could go back over the history of this church and point out a few. Just they want to be served. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 20, verse 28, that He didn't come to be served. He came to serve and to lay down His life. And we see Him doing that in John 13, verses 13 through 17. Actually, verses 1 through 17. We see Him girding Himself with a towel and upon His knees washing the disciples' feet. And we see Him serving, and He's asking them to follow His example. He said He's an example unto them, that they would serve one another. So again, we see Martha serving. I'm reading from verse 1. And this is the last time we see her. And this is just days before the crucifixion. And Martha is still serving. Mary is still anointing. What is interesting is that she served the Savior one of His last meals. Maybe not the last, but one of His last meals. Because His last meal was in the upper room, which begins in chapter 13, going through 17. So she's still serving. What is the hymn, "We'll work till Jesus comes"? We're to serve. We're to work. Now look at this, reading from verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom He raised from the dead. There they made Him a supper, and Martha served. Underline it. She's working. She's serving. She's giving herself, and there is no rebuke. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment, a spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped His feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then said one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray Him, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" This He said, not that He cared for the poor, but because He was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. Then said Jesus, "Let her alone. Again, against the day of My burial hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but Me ye have not always." We see the three together again with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me do this. Let us close in Revelation, the book of Revelation. Turn with me to chapter 14. Give you this verse and one or two others and we'll close. I'm going to give you something to write down. What does this teach us? This teaches us the importance and the balance in our Christian life of worship and service. Both are essential to our Christian walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. That we be faithful in both of these areas. Now notice as we come to Revelation 14, here's some of the other verses. Matthew 25, verse 23, and the surrounding verses where He says, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Martha, and Mary fits into that category. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul said he was a servant of the Lord Jesus, and he also said in chapter 16, 2, that Phoebe was a servant of the church. He said, be good to her, in verse 1 and 2 of that chapter. She was a servant of the church. In Luke 17, 10, it speaks of an unprofitable servant. What is an unprofitable servant? He only does what he has to do. Never goes beyond that. In Luke 19, verse 11 through 15, says, to occupy till I come. The Lord Jesus said, occupy till I come. And the surrounding verses tells you how that he left his servants and he came back to reward them. Genesis 24, Eliezer was a faithful servant to Abraham. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3, he speaks of our reasonable service. Reasonable. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15 and 16, there's a family that it says they were addicted to the ministry of the saints. An entire family, and what they did, they gave their life serving other saints. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, 58, we find that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Notice in Revelation 14, so we're to look for ways to serve, but never, ever, ever forget about worship and devotion. There has to be that balance. Revelation 14, verses 12 and 13, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So in death, or resurrection, or both, we rest from our labors here upon this earth, but we see that our works do follow us into eternity, into the kingdom of God. Not saved by our works, but we are workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, as in Ephesians 2:10. But we also find two other verses, and we close chapter 7, and notice this. Now, this is a heavenly scene. Notice there is an earthly service, and there's a heavenly service. And those who serve the Lord here on earth will also be serving Him in heaven. Notice in Revelation chapter 7, in verse 16 and 17, it says here, verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night. John asked him, who is this great multitude in verse 9? There's 144,000 in the first 8 verses, a great multitude. In other words, this is just Jew and Gentiles who are saved by the grace of God and the blood of the Lamb. And he said in verse 15, therefore are they before the throne of God and serve Him day and night in His temple, and He that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They're serving in heaven. Revelation 22 and in verse 3. That's a wonderful thing to think about. We that serve Him here, we'll be serving Him in heaven. Revelation 22, speaking of the throne of God and the tree of life and new heaven and new Jerusalem, but come down to verse 3, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and His servants shall serve Him. And then they're mentioned again in verse 6. So as we stand tonight and close, let us stick with what the Bible says in doctrine, in practice, and even when it's speaking of the saints of God. And I think Martha, whether it be a man or a woman, or young or old, that Martha is a great testimony to us. I think she showed great hospitality, had a great faith, and she served the Lord. Father, we thank You this evening for Your love, Your kindness, Your mercy to us. We thank You, Lord, for giving us the opportunity to serve You. And Lord, we thank You for the opportunity also to worship Oh God, we pray that we would be more conformed to Thy Spirit and Thy Word, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.